Trumos Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Tess, 11:9. This is the 100th Mishnah of the Masechta. Just this one and one more to go. So we're talking about Karshinin. Karshinin, you can Google it for yourself. I'll try to remember to put the Wikipedia articles that I found. It's bitter vetch. Now, vetch is a funny thing. It is edible for human beings, but they would rather avoid eating it because it just tastes terrible. It is, however, a great food for animals. So in the context of Truma, it, according to many Mefarshim, has a very unique place. On the one hand, since it really is human food, albeit not a very good one, it's subject to the halachas of Truma, because remember, if things are not edible by humans, there's no Truma requirement. On the other hand, since people won't eat it and animals really will, the question is, can one give it to animals? And the answer is, one could. That is quite uncommon, because usually we've said that when it comes to animals, or any truma for that matter, you can't waste your truma and use it in an improper way, including feeding it to animals. It's for human beings. So karshinin is special, the vetch, and that's our topic over here. According to the Rambam, the truth is that karshinim aren't exactly special, and this would apply to any food that fits this kind of criteria. So for example, if you would have any perhaps even if you have truma bread that's now gone moldy, let's say, and your horse will be happy to eat it, but you would rather not. The Rambam seems to say there, and that you could give it to your horse if you're a Kohen and you own the horse, and that'll be fine as well. Be that as it may, the Mishnah I was going to discuss how one deals with karshinin. So it says, karshine truma, if you have vetch, that's truma, machilin osam levehema, ulachaya, ulatarnagolim. You can feed it to your animals, whether they're behemos, domesticated, or chayos, undomesticated animals. You know, you have a deer roaming around in your estate, or tarnagolim, or chickens. Interesting side point, almost always the triumvirate of animals is behemos, chayos, and ophos, ophos meaning birds in general. Here it says specifically tarnagolim, chickens, which is peculiar. A possible reason why is because if one is raising, let's say, I don't know, falcons or something, they can fend for themselves. But if you're using your truma to feed your animals, it would have to be an animal that is dependent upon you to feed it, like, for example, your tarnagolim, your chickens. That's a possible answer. Okay, now Mish goes on to make an important distinction, which actually is sort of instructive in the halachas of ownership in general, nothing to do with truma. But the idea here is that if the animal is owned by a Kohen, so then it is eligible to eat karshinim, the vetch, even if the vetch is truma. On the other hand, if the animal is not owned by a Kohen, then it is not eligible to consume karshinim, that's truma. So the Mishnah is going to focus on two arrangements. And the first arrangement is rental. If a person rents an animal, so he doesn't own the animal, the owner remains the original owner, and the renter just has certain rights in the animal. And that being the case, if a Yisrael rents an animal from a Kohen, so then that animal remains eligible to consume truma. Whereas if a Kohen rents an animal from a Yisrael, he may not feed it truma. And that's what the Mishnah says here inside. It says, Yisrael shesachar par makohen, the Yisrael non-Kohen who rents the cow from the Kohen, ma'achila karshine truma. He, the Yisrael, may feed the vetch to the truma vetch, to the Kohen's cow. On the flip side, the converse is, v'kohen shesachar par miYisrael, if you have a Kohen who rents a cow from a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, afal pishimo zonosea alav, it doesn't matter. Even if the Kohen is obligated to feed the animal, he's not allowed to use the truma to feed the animal. Lo yechlena karshina truma, he may not feed it with truma karshina, he'd have to use something else. Now, there's a question as to, how is it possible that the Yisrael who's renting a cow can use truma to feed the cow he's rented? That would seem to be, even if it's not a truma issue per se, it's not the Yisrael's truma. The truma belongs to the Kohanim. And even if the Yisrael hasn't given it to a specific Kohen, he owes it to the Kohanim. So how is he within his rights to use someone else's assets to feed a cow he has to feed? So the Bartender understands quite an interesting thing, and he is probably the minority amongst the Rishonim, but he understands that a person can give his truma to whomever he wants, and included in the whomever he wants possibilities is the Kohen who owns this cow. And there's a non-Sahadi, there's like a, it's self-evident, if you will, that's my translation here loosely, of a non-Sahadi, literally means we can testify, that the owner of this cow will be very pleased if the vetch ended up in this cow's belly, because vetch is great animal fodder. And therefore, it's tantamount to, says the Bar Tanura, giving it to the Kohen and then using it to feed the animal, because that is presumably, it's safe to assume that that is what the Kohen would want done with the karshin and the vetch. That's the Bar Tanura's approach. Many others find that rather strange, and therefore they understand that there must have been some kind of arrangement with the Kohen ahead of time, where it was the Kohen's responsibility to, as opposed to the Israel's responsibility to feed this rented cow from the Kohanim, and that was the arrangement they came up with, that he would be giving, the Israel would be giving the karshinim to the Kohen, and then be used, that karshinim would be used to feed the cow. Okay, the second financial arrangement we're going to deal with here is Shuma. Now, Shuma is very unfamiliar to us in the year, you know, 21st century. Shuma, which literally means appraisal or estimate, appraisal, is kind of like what we've seen in the past with sharecropping and tenant farming, where the rich landowner has the capital, but he needs the peasant to be the laborer to work the field. And in that scenario, what happens is they strike a deal where the owner of the land says, listen, you put in the labor and effort to cultivate this field, and we'll split the profits 50-50, whatever the case may be. So that's for people who are acting as farmers. But in animal husbandry, there's a similar arrangement where the owner of the asset, the cow in this case, could strike a deal with a person who as follows, that the laborer, the worker, will take this cow, he'll invest in it, he'll fatten it up, and then he'll return it, and then they will sell the cow, which has now been fattened up and is with more value, and they'll split the proceeds, whatever, let's say 50-50. So that's the arrangement called Shuma, where one person takes an animal, increases its value by fattening it up, and then they sell it, and they split the proceeds. And in such a scenario, it's called Shuma, an appraisal, because when the person who's doing the work takes the cow off the hands of the original owner, so he actually is underwriting and guaranteeing that appraised value. So that would mean, for example, if a Yisrael goes to a Kohen and says, I'll fatten up your cow for you, and then we'll split the profits 50-50. So how will they assess the profits? First, they will appraise the value of the cow. They'll say this cow is worth $100. And the Yisrael then will take that cow. When he returns it, and for argument's sake, if the cow is now worth $400, then they'll split the $300 profit, let's say 50-50, each gets $150. But let's say, what happens if the Yisrael appraises the cow at $100, and then he takes it off the Kohen's hands, and then, you know, an act of God happens and lightning strikes and kills the cow. Now, who's responsible for the loss? The answer is the Yisrael. His responsibility is 100%. No matter what happens to the cow, he will have to return, at a bare minimum, the $100 of value that he took from the Kohen. So that's considered to be tantamount to purchasing the cow, and then later on, if he returns to the Kohen, as opposed to selling it, you know, on his behalf, would be returning and, like, transferring ownership of the cow, perhaps. So the point is, Shuma is effectively an assumption of ownership. And that being the case, unlike the previous examples where we said the renter, if the Yisrael is a renter and the owner is a Kohen, the cow could eat Truma because it still belongs to the Kohen. Here we're saying if the person doing the work is the Yisrael and the original owner is the Kohen, the cow may not be fed Truma in that Shuma arrangement, because when the Yisrael takes the cow off the Kohen's hands after the appraisal, he has essentially taken ownership of the cow. And that being the case, it transfers from being a Kohen's cow to being a Yisrael's cow, and is no longer eligible to eat Truma. That's what the Mishnah says inside. It says, Yisrael Shesham, a Yisrael non-Kohen who appraises Para Mekohen, a cow from a Kohen, meaning he takes it based on that fixed value of 100, and he's on the hook to return at a bare minimum $100 of value. Lo yechilena karshine truma, that Yisrael may not feed that cow truma vetch, because it stopped being a Kohen's cow and became a Yisrael's cow. On the other hand, the Kohen Shesham Parami Yisrael, if it's the Kohen who's taking the cow off the hands of the Yisrael, so then it became the Kohen's, and that being the case, Ma'achila Karshine Truma, the Kohen may feed that cow Truma.